This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits. Make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Let's get to Brett Tyson, who writes, "Bunting with Jeff McNeil, it worked out, but what the F?" So it's funny about the bunt, and Brett is not the only person that emailed or tweeted complaints about the Jeff McNeil bunt. What's funny about it is the way it was described on the broadcast, which I didn't know about. I was at the game, but I went back and heard that Gary Cohen and Keith Hernandez were marveling at the idea that the Pirates were playing for a bunt with first and second and nobody out. And I said this briefly on our last Rico, if you want to go back and take a listen, where we broke down each game in depth, the three-game sweep of the Pirates. I liked the bunt, and I'm probably in the minority on this. In general, I'm not a big giving out guy away, but I think there are certain circumstances where, to me, it makes sense. I have a lead. I'm trying to build off that lead. Jeff McNeil, yes, he's your five-play hitter, and that's what Keith kept saying, but you got to forget where a guy is batting in the order. I mean, Jeff McNeil was hitting eighth a few days ago, so when you say he's the fifth-play hitter, he's the fifth-play hitter that day. So let's look at who's behind you. Let's look at the situation. And what I liked about it was, even though Alvarez didn't come through, I liked the hitters that were coming up, and you give yourselves a chance with an out to get an extra run, to tack on another run. Every run matters. You also give yourself a chance with a base hit to tack on two runs. The chances of Jeff McNeil getting a base hit, even when he's going well, is 30%. Let's play the numbers game. It's 30%. That's a 300 hitter. So, yeah, I got a shot for Jeff McNeil to drive one up the alley and do it himself and not give an out away. Absolutely. But the odds of that happening are 30%. If I laid down a bunt, a couple of things. Number one, they could screw up. Let's not assume it's a guaranteed out. You are forcing the Pirates to make a play defensively. They did, by the way, but that's not a guarantee. So number one, you're forcing the defense to have to make a play. Number two, if you get it down successfully, which Jeff did, you've now improved your chances of scoring a run. Even though you've given him an out, now you're contact away from scoring a run. You're a wild pitch away from scoring a run. Let's not leave that part out. It also depends, where am I at in the game? Because I had a one-run lead, I sort of liked it. I'm looking to tack on runs. And again, I trusted who was coming up next. I trusted the next two hitters, Francisco Alvarez and Tyrone Taylor. I may be in the minority. I accept that. Gary Cohen was certainly dumbfounded by it. But I liked it. I thought it was a good baseball play. It was humorous to hear Gary Cohen basically arrogantly say, "What are they doing? You know, what the hell is going on?" And then, of course, they bunt. Now, let me address an email because this was very important to me. Allison Kane, who's a very loyal listener to the Rico, was very upset with me. And I want to read her email. I want to give her a voice. And then I will, I guess, attempt to defend myself. So here's what Allison wrote a couple days ago. First of all, the subject title is "No Thank You." "Evan, I usually think your podcast is one of the best. But the last one in which you pointed out so many negative things about the ceremony for Doc Gooden's number retirement really upset me. I'm not saying anything you pointed out was untrue. What I'm saying is that Doc Gooden brought my mom back to baseball after the Dodgers and Giants left New York City. In turn, her interest spurred an interest for me in baseball, which I had ignored for 27 years of my life. I saw Doc pitch, and he was unreal. I remember Shea Stadium in the 1980s after 1984, and it rocked literally.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Granted, I was too young to remember the 69 Mets and Tom Seaver, and had no interest in baseball then anyway. So for my generation, I'm 66, it was the 1980s, and that hope that the Mets would be an equivalent rival to the Yankees, that I remember. It would have been nice to hear a few more positive thoughts from you about the ceremony. At least his number is retired, and now up there with Mays and Seaver, etc. As I previously emailed you, the Mets won the World Series the day before my 29th birthday, and it was the best present I ever received. I will now listen to your podcast with a jaded ear. I will still listen and appreciate your knowledge and quality of your work, but I will probably not be as eager to see every new Rico Bronya podcast as it appears on my cell phone. Allison from Brooklyn. Allison, I appreciate the email. I appreciate you still listening, even if it's going to be with a jaded ear. I try, and I am not perfect, that's for sure. I try to not be too positive or negative. In fact, what I have felt as a baseball fan over the years I've watched is that sometimes when things are going really, really bad, you almost need to be positive because you're not that bad. And sometimes when things are going really, really well, you need to kind of remind people a tinge of negativity or just a tinge of reality because you're not that good. And I've tried to do that, and we've certainly had some chances early in this season. At 0-5 or 0-3, I reminded you we're not in Panic City yet. It is early. Take a deep breath. And I opened our last podcast, if you missed it, by reminding you that even last year's Mets had runs as good as the run the Mets are on right now. Just as a reminder that you're never as good as you are when you're hot, and you're never as bad as you are when you're cold. Now, in terms of Doc, I want to take this time to talk about all the positives. Because if I didn't stress the good from the Doc Gooden ceremony, that's on me. And Allison's right. What I brought up in terms of negativity was mostly the crowd and mostly why it didn't connect maybe the way it could have. Why there were only 32,000 people announced. Why there were a lot of empty seats. And like I appreciate Allison pointing out, I didn't say anything that wasn't true. But maybe on the day after the Doc Gooden ceremony, you wanted to hear some positives. So I'll give you the positive now. It's been 5-6 days. Number one, Doc Gooden was electric. Doc Gooden, even for me, who didn't start understanding the Mets till 1992, which was clearly the very end of his time here, he was, for the first 2 years of my Met fandom, really 2.5 years of my Met fandom, he was the face of the franchise. He's Doc Gooden. I grew up watching Doc the Tape. Remember Doc the VHS tape? Dwight Eugene Gooden, better known as Doc Gooden, It always hurt me, and it hurt me even more hearing the truth from Doc, that the Mets never wanted to bring him back. Because in the late 90s, when Doc went to the Yankees and pitched the no-hitter and came back at Shea Stadium as a Yankee, that game is in my book, My Mets Bible, order now on Amazon, I always had the urge, much more so than Darryl, to have Doc return. That Doc was such a Met, and Doc wanted to be here. And I always wanted, as a Met fan, to see that closure with Doc Gooden. And even if I wasn't big on retiring everybody's number, it always felt weird when someone else was wearing number 16. You know, and for a while, think about who was wearing number 16. You had a lot of nobodies wearing number 16. I mean, Alejandro Deaza and Travis Jankowski wore number 16. But I thought the ceremony was beautiful. I thought it was awesome with the fans, the season ticket holders, holding the K's on the field. My dad was fortunate enough to be one of them. I thought that was very, very cool. Doc spoke from the heart. And I teared up a little bit as I saw the 16 appear up above left field. Doc is a big part of the history and the story of the New York Mets.